Oh, it's up.
Yep, you're on.
Okay.
You're recording.
Okay. Good morning. What is? It's good to be back here as we start off the next semester and continue on in Genesis. And where we're going to pick up today, and hopefully you had a chance at least to read the passage for today, which was Genesis 46 through 47:12. And before we jump into that, I'd like to just give a quick little review, not of all of where we've come from in Genesis, but really just going back to our lesson right before we took our break, where Bevy taught from Genesis 45. And some of the themes that she brought out that day were in that teaching, which tells the story of Joseph being reunited with his brothers, is Bevy brought out just two really beautiful principles. And I was just so blessed by her teaching that day. But she talked about how God is sovereign. And isn't it so good to know that God is a good and loving sovereign God? But that He's sovereign even in our struggles, losses, changes, and trials. And we also saw how, as we saw through Joseph imaging Jesus, when he said to his brothers, "Come close to me," and that Jesus is a Lord who says to his people, to hurting, struggling, confused, sinful women, "Come close to me." That he is truly Emmanuel, God who has come to dwell with us, but he also longs for us to come close to him. Other things we've seen throughout Genesis, that God is faithful to his promises. He's a God who makes a promise and sticks to his word. And we see that through the covenant that he has extended and initiated with his people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A covenant where he says, "I will be your God and you will be my people. I want relationship with you and I'm going to secure that relationship with you." And he also says, "I will bring you into the land, the promised land." You know, speaking there specifically of Canaan, he'd be faithful to bring them into that place of flourishing, of peace, and of rest. So, chapter 45 kind of ended out with that reality of Joseph having been reunited to his brothers and them going back to tell Jacob, their father, this amazing story, really, of that Joseph is still alive, which they didn't know if he was or not. But Jacob had assumed all these years that that his son was dead. So telling him, their father, that amazing story. And so as we pick up with what our passage was for today, let me just give you some details of that and an overview. And what I'm going to do today with our teaching time is kind of speak in some broad strokes about some lessons I think that we can glean from this aspect of Jacob's life. Well, again, you know, we saw Joseph reunited with his brothers. They returned to tell Jacob, their father, this news. And then chapter 45 closes out with Jacob preparing to return to Canaan. As chapter 46 opens up, it begins with Jacob preparing to go. He's going to leave where he is, Canaan, and go down to Egypt. And just to refresh you, is the reason that his sons had gone to Egypt was because there was a famine in the land, and they needed help. They needed to go request food. They needed to request assistance. So that's why they had gone to Egypt. Those were the circumstances that God had ordained to bring a reunion in this family. So as chapter 46 begins, you see God confirming his promises to Jacob, also confirming his commissioning. Yes, I want you to go to Egypt. And in the midst of that, really night visions where God is speaking to Jacob and confirming his promises, we see God assuring Jacob of several things. And let me just review these for you. Again, he says, "I will go with you." There's the covenant-keeping God again. I'm not just going to give you a promise and then you go out and deal with it on your own. I'm going to be with you in this. He also says to Jacob, "I will make you great there in Egypt." This was also a part of the covenant going back to Abraham of, "I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing out to all the peoples of the earth." This was the greatness, being blessed and flourishing so that his people could then be a blessing through that flourishing. It's a surprising twist, though, isn't it, that this is going to happen in Egypt. God says, I'm going to make you a great nation there. I'm going to increase you there. Thirdly, something that God promises Jacob in this preparing to send out again, is he says, I'm not just going to bless you as you go to Egypt. I'm going to bring you up out of there again. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to take you out of this place that I'm bringing you into. And then lastly, something that I think is so tender of God is that he says to Jacob, and Joseph will close your eyes. You know, this son who is so beloved of Jacob, God is basically telling Jacob, here's how you're going to die. Your son will close your eyes. The son who you've been really estranged from, although Jacob didn't know that. He thought his son was gone. God says to him, this is how your days are going to close out. So you see in this passage of Jacob and his sons going, the reunion with Joseph. There's a long listing before that of all of the sons and daughters of Jacob going into Egypt. They go to Pharaoh. There's a reunion there. They go before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh blesses them and gives them land through Joseph's advocacy for him to settle in the land of Goshen. That's the passage that we've looked at for today. And as I prepared, here's what the Lord put on my heart. I'm going to trust that he's led me in this. I just want to share three kind of broad strokes truths for us to pull out of this passage in this story that I hope we can apply to our own lives and to our specific circumstances as we head into this year. So those three things are for his glory and purposes. That's under the umbrella. For his glory and his purposes, God is a communicating God. Thirdly, that he is a God who watches over our comings and goings. And then thirdly, he's a God who provides for his people. So let's just talk a little bit about each one of these. First of all, that he's a communicating God. This chapter 46 opens up with God coming to Jacob and speaking to him through these night visions. You saw in chapter 35 where it says God was speaking to Jacob, 35:11, God is speaking to Jacob and again confirming this covenant with him. All throughout Genesis, you see God is speaking to his people. Actually, you see this all throughout God's word. And I don't know about you, but sometimes there's so many things about the Lord and about his word that honestly have just become really familiar to me. And I don't really even think about them anymore. But it is an astounding thing that we have a God who comes to us and speaks with us. We can dialogue with the creator of the universe. This is something that is radically unique among all of the faiths and religions of the world. While there might be other religions that claim to have a God that might speak in some way, there's only one true God. There's only one true Lord who actually comes to his people and wants to sit down with you, to fellowship with you, to talk with you, and not just to talk at you, but he invites your questions, your struggles. Jesus, said, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And so the Lord, in his speaking to us, is revealing himself and communicating to us in so many ways. And so I wanted to share several things about this. We could probably list lots of these. Here's five things that I've thought of or that I have seen in God's word that, again, you see in Jacob's life in different ways, but that we can understand for ourselves of God being a communicating God. First of all, how does he communicate? Well, Psalm 143, the psalmist says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Another translation would say, Lord, cause me to hear your love in the morning. So the Lord actually speaks to us through his love. Psalm 32:8, I love this passage where the Lord is speaking to us and he's saying, I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So the Lord communicates to us instruction, guidance, counsel. I do some counseling in my job and ministry. There's other counselors in the room. You probably counsel each other. Maybe a lot of you are seeing counselors. I've seen counselors. we have a counselor in the Lord who says, I counsel you with my eye upon you. That's the way he communicates to us. When you don't know what to do, the Lord is there to counsel you. That's the way he speaks to us. Another way he speaks to us, he communicates to us. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about here. I'm just pulling out a handful. He communicates to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, last year we looked at John 14, 15, 16 would be a great place to go to learn more of the Lord's communication to us. But he speaks to us. Jesus spoke specifically of his Holy Spirit, who he would send, who would communicate to us in ways of teaching us, guiding us, and reminding us. God communicates to us in a way of reminding us of what is true. And perhaps you're like me, very forgetful. You have a place of just encouragement and feeling strong in the Lord, and the next day, God could be as far away as a distant relative. You have a time in the Word where it just comes alive to you and feeds your soul. The next day, later that day, you're totally forgetting what you've been learned. I've had that happening to me even over the last week. So praising the Lord, and the next moment, you know, God, where are you? So encouraged in Christ, and then feeling very disheartened. Forgetfulness. And that's what God's people are forgetful. You know, check out Psalm 106, where it says, the God's people forgot the Lord, forgot God their Savior, forgot all his ways with them. So it's so great that the Lord has communicates to us through his Holy Spirit, who teaches and reminds and convicts us of sin, who keeps us on his way. Another aspect of his communication from John 10, where it talks about him as the shepherd. Because you might be thinking, well, Ellen, I try to read the Bible, and it just, I don't get it. Or I try to pray, and I listen for the Lord's counsel, and I just don't hear anything. I've been there too, and I am there sometimes. But John 10 gives us a beautiful promise where it speaks to us of the Lord as our shepherd. And Jesus says some really sweet things to us. If you're a sheep who sometimes it's hard to hear, he says, my sheep will know my voice. So he communicates to us in a way that is understandable to us, in a way that he will help us to understand it. And so if you're having a hard time understanding the Lord or hearing the Lord, pray and ask him, Lord Jesus, you say in your word that you're my shepherd. Lord Jesus, you say that your sheep will know your voice. So I'm asking you, Lord, would you cause your voice to be clear to my heart today, to break through the confusion and the pain or the hard-heartedness or the unbelief in me, and to speak to my heart. That's a prayer that the Lord is delighted to hear and delighted to respond to. But the last way, and this kind of covers all these things, which we have in a way that Jacob didn't, Hebrews 1:1-2 says, in the last days, God spoke to us through prophets and through many different ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son. That God actually speaks to us through the person of Jesus, who is our indwelling Lord, the God who has come near to us to speak to us. So Jacob, as he was laying asleep that night, and God came and spoke to him in those visions. And I don't know all of how that worked out, but we know that God spoke. We know that Jacob heard him, because what was Jacob's response? He said, here I am. Here am I. You see that as a response of God's people, of many of God's people throughout his word, of Isaiah saying, here I am, send me, of Mary when the Lord spoke, kind of sending the angel Gabriel to her in that commissioning of, you're going to bear my son. She said, I'm yours. I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said. So that would be a way for us to pray in light of the Lord's communication to us of, Lord, give us a heart like Jacob to say, here I am. To give us a heart like Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. To give us that same faith that Mary had of, Lord, I'm here, I'm yours. May it be to me as you have said. But a beautiful promise for us in the midst of whatever our circumstances are, that God is a communicating God. Through his word, you know, through the ink on the page, in your Bible, but through the Spirit, through this alive Word, through each other as we speak to each other, His Word, through circumstances, God speaks to us through His creation. He's a communicating God. Secondly, that God watches over our comings and goings. Jacob was, again, he had gone into Canaan, now he's getting ready to leave again, to go see his son, to go to Egypt and to take all of his family there. God, again, promised that he was going to go with Jacob. He was going to go and bring him into Egypt and bring him out again. Now, I don't know what this was like for Jacob. You know, you read commentators, and commentators, I think, they're making comment on God's word, and sometimes they're reading into it. We do that as well. Was Jacob super surprised? I don't know, maybe. Was he scared? Perhaps. But we know this, that if, as a human being, Jacob is probably just like us, that sometimes our comings and goings, when God takes us in and out of places, they're sometimes hard. They're sometimes surprising to us. They're sometimes really unexpected for us. And as I look around this room, I see lots of situations of God bringing us in and out. And what's hard? What's hard about that when God calls us to a place? Well, at least one thing that's true is, in order to go there, means we have to leave here. To embrace a new normal means we need to let go of things as they are. And I don't know if you're like me, even as I know God is with me, even as I know God has been so faithful to me over all these years that He's kind of moved me all over the place, I don't like change. I like stability, and God has given me some stability in my adult life as following Him. But I've had a lot of moving around. You know, friends and I used to talk about how there are wheels under my feet instead of stakes. My mom used to call me Suitcase Ellie because I was always packing up and getting ready to go. And this is what you see with God's people. But here's the beauty of it. Again, God didn't say, "I'm sending you, see ya." He says, I'm sending you, but I'm going with you. And truly, Jesus is our permanent zip code. He's our permanent home. He is always with us. You see this with Joseph. Sure, on a human, worldly point of view, horizontal, it's his brothers that orchestrated all this stuff for him to be sold. No, Joseph said, "The Lord sent me here." The Lord took him out of his family and sent him into Egypt, a foreign land. With Jacob, you know, Jacob was also being moved geographically, but there is something too about the Lord watching over Jacob's comings and goings. Did you catch in the passage that we read for today what Jacob said when he heard and was reunited with Joseph? He said, "Now I can end my days, close my eyes. I'm ready to go." He was ready to leave and just to die, but the Lord was watching over his coming into this world and his going out of this world. And the Lord had ordained his days, and he lived for many years after that time. So God brings us into this world, and he brings us out of this world. He brings us into zip codes and out of zip codes. He brings us into relationships and out of relationships. Psalm 139 promises this to us. It says, "All the days ordained for us were written in God's book before one of them came to be." And this particular point has been really tender on my heart, even in the last few days, as I've felt this so poignantly. I was home in St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown, over the holiday, and most of my family, half of my family is there. I'm one of eight adult children, so I've got a lot of siblings. My father is still there. I've got a spiritual community in my home church, First Evangelical Free Church of St. Louis, who I've, you know, for those of you who are new lifers, that's kind of how First E Free in St. Louis is for me. There's people there who have known me and prayed for me and supported me for 20 years, who I have such a history with. They've kind of seen me grow up from a 20-something now into a 40-something person, sending me out here and there all over the place. And as I was there just this past Sunday morning, I was really fighting back tears for the whole worship service. And this has nothing to do with Philadelphia. I love being here. I love worshiping with you, knowing you, journeying with you. I love what I do at Harvest USA. But to be here means I'm not there anymore. And I miss that. I miss that history that I have with people. I miss people that remember my prayer letters from when I lived in Romania. I miss people who, we were a part of the 20-something singles group. And that's a long time gone for me now. I miss it. It's an ache, but it's a good ache. And so how have I seen the Lord bringing me in and out? Again, under the umbrella, His glory and His purposes. Well, He brought me into St. Louis through my family as a one-year-old little girl, and I lived there my whole growing up. Then He took me out of St. Louis to go to university in Kirksville, Missouri. And then He brought me back into St. Louis when I graduated, and that's when I got involved at E-Free, got involved in Bible study, really got, actually, I forgot to mention, He brought me into Kirksville, Missouri at Northeast Missouri State, because that was His appointed place where I came to know Jesus Christ through the ministry of Campus Crusade. Brought me back into St. Louis, got rooted in with E-Free. There was a lot of different things He was doing, preparing me for the next time He sent me out of St. Louis, which I went to Romania, and I served in Romania for 4 years on a church planting team. Then I came back into St. Louis and went to Covenant Seminary, got rerouted into E-Free again. God did a lot of healing in my relationships with my family, many of which were so disconnected, including with my mom, who came to understand the love of Jesus during that time. And then 2005... out again, and here I am. Now I've got a PA license plate on my little Mazda out there. Bringing me in and bringing me out, bringing me in, bringing me out. But the promise of His Word, Psalm 121, says that He watches over our coming and goings. And this is for His purposes. That's what He's doing with God's people all throughout Genesis, bringing Abraham in and out, bringing Isaac in and out, bringing Jacob in and out, bringing Joseph into this place, orchestrating circumstances for His glory so that His people would be blessed and that they would be a blessing. That's the covenant. Are you in Christ today? If you are, then you have this covenant with God where He is blessing you to be a blessing, and He's going to bring you in and bring you out. I mean, the reality is that all of us have wheels under our feet. We're sojourners in this world. And God reserves that right to say, I know the plans I have for you, sending you in and sending you out. But the promise is that it is always spacious places that He brings us into for His glory. Spacious places, even as it means loss, even as it means letting go of what is. You can't have the new thing that God wants to give you if you're clutching on with all your might to things as they are. So the third point, God provides for His people. He's always providing. Again, you see all these things weaving together, that He's speaking to us, showing us what to do, comforting us, encouraging us, correcting us. He's watching over our comings and goings. And then He's providing. He's providing for us. And not providing, you know, just a little teaspoon. He provides extravagantly. He provides above and beyond so that we flourish. Again, remembering what is flourishing, what is greatness. It's being rooted in His will so that we can participate fully in His will. So how do you see that in this passage? Well, again, the passage that we read goes through this long listing of all of Jacob's descendants. And it says at the end of that, at that portion, it says all of Jacob's descendants were, there's one part where it says 66, another part where it says 70 persons. We'll go with 70 because that's the higher number. It says all of his people were 70 people going into Egypt. Now God had promised to Jacob, I'm going to make you a great nation there. He said that to Abraham too. I'm going to make you a great nation. Great nation out of 70 people? In fact, that's what he did. Go to Exodus 1, and it says that the Israelites had become so vast amount of people that the Egyptians had become scared of them. They had multiplied and flourished so much. We see this principle so much with us, that God takes what we have, as little as it might be, our little loaves and fishes, and He multiplies them. He takes what we have when we offer it to Him, and he causes it to expand. He causes it to be used for his flourishing. And I just see in my own life that sometimes God even empties our accounts. He empties out even the things that I'm holding in my pocket or I'm clutching onto. He empties it out so as to reveal his glory and love and power in ways that it's so clearly of him. It's so clearly of him. But he provides for us by taking what we have and causing it to flourish. Another way that we see how he provides for us is he's an advocate for us. In the passage, Joseph is being that middleman, being that communication coach, being the one that works it out for his brothers and his father to have an audience with Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. I mean, these herdsmen from Canaan, they never should have been standing in front of Pharaoh, but here they are. Again, God had taken Joseph out, brought him in, and so in this place, Joseph is now advocating for them, going to Pharaoh and saying, my father and my brothers are here. And then he goes to his father and his brothers, and he says, okay, here's how you need to talk to Pharaoh. You need to say this. You need to say it this way. Here's what you're going to do. He tells them. He coaches them how to speak. And in a very similar but much more profound way, this is what God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do for us as we pray, as we come before God with our needs and requests. And I want to just read to you a couple of quick things from Charles Spurgeon that helped me to understand this. Listen to this. Charles Spurgeon was a pastor in the 1800s and a Bible teacher. So as a pastor, he had many people coming to him for help. And he says, sometimes poor people come to us with requests that they wish to send to some company or important person. They bring the request and ask us to have it presented for them. It is very badly spelled, very strangely written, and we can barely make out what they mean. But still, there is enough to let us know what they want. First of all, we make out a good copy for them, and then having stated their case, we put our name at the bottom. If we have any influence, of course they get what they desire through the power of the name signed at the foot of the petition. This is just what the Lord Jesus Christ does with our poor prayers. He makes a good copy of them, stamps them with the seal of his own atoning blood, puts his own name at the foot, and thus they go to God's throne. It is your prayer, but oh, it is his prayer too. It is the fact of its being his prayer that makes it prevail. Such a beautiful passage or a beautiful thing. And Spurgeon also talks about the Holy Spirit. Think about this for those of you who are moms. Have you ever seen a parent when his child is trying to say something to him, and the parent knows very well what it is that the little one has got to say, helps him over the words and utters the syllables for him? You've done that, probably those of you who are moms, when your child comes to you and they're stumbling around to try to figure out how to say it, and you say, oh, you want this? You fill in the words for him. Spurgeon says, if the little one has half forgotten what he wants to say, you've seen the Father suggest the word. Likewise, the ever-blessed Spirit from the throne of grace will help us and teach us words, know right in our heart, W-R-I-T-E, in our hearts, the desires themselves. We have in Scripture instances where God puts words into sinners' mouths. So as much as Joseph was advocating and coaching his people what to say, we have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a Holy Spirit who is interceding for us, moving in our hearts, helping us to pray. That's the way that God provides for us, providing his Spirit, providing that intercession through Christ. Another way of the Lord's providing for us is just that protective provision. Again, we could talk about this for so long, but how the Lord provides for his people, for Jacob and his family, to be settled in the land of Goshen, a place where they would be safe, a place where they would have all they needed for their flocks to flourish there. You know, they weren't forced right then to go into some kind of servitude that didn't even fit them. They were herdsmen, and the Lord provided for them through Pharaoh for them to be able to continue flourishing in taking care of their flocks. The last point I want to make about the Lord's provision is that the Lord, through all this circumstances, provided the platform for Pharaoh to be blessed. You see this in the end of the passage. It seems a little bit unusual to me at first, but Pharaoh is blessed by Jacob as he comes in and as he leaves. And this was more than him just having good manners. This was actually Jacob walking in the covenant. Because remember, what was the covenant? I'm going to bless you and you will be a blessing. I'm going to pour into you so that you can be poured out. And so Joseph was participating in this in the covenant. He had been blessed, protected, preserved by living in this land. And now he's being used to bless many. Jacob is blessed and brought in and cared for. And now he's used to bless Pharaoh, to speak words of blessing over this pagan king. These are things that the Lord does with us as well, blessing us that we might be a blessing. God never, ever planned for blessing to just stop with us, that we would hoard it. And I hoard God's blessing a lot. I love to just keep it for myself at times. And he is consistently, I have to say, Ellen, you're a conduit. You know, you're meant to be a channel. You're meant to be an instrument. You know, when I want to just kind of wrap up everything for myself, it's like, no, I don't belong to myself. The Lord says, I'm sending you out to be a blessing, which is what he does with us as well. Blesses us, watches over our comings and goings, communicates to us, and provides all that we need that we will be blessed and that we'll be a blessing. And so, you know, it's a new year. For some of you, 2011 was a great year. For others of you, you're thinking, thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's done. So I don't know where your hearts are at today as you think about what's in front of you this year. Maybe you are in a place of really needing to hear the Lord speaking to you. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to something really big, huge change. I don't know how he's bringing you in or bringing you out. He's with you in that. And he promises to provide for you, to provide everything you need to be blessed and to flourish and to give you courage to let go of what you need to let go of so that you can embrace what he has for you in the season to come. I'm going to close in praying for us, and I want to just pray for all of us a scripture that I'm praying over myself for the new year, which is 2 Corinthians 2:14. So let's close in prayer, and then we can go into our groups. Lord, we say to you, thanks be to God. Praise be to you, God, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Lord, I pray for my life to be fragrant for you. I pray that for my sisters, Lord, and Lord, I pray for each one where they are needing to hear from you, that you would communicate to them through your word, through your people, in their spirit, Lord. God, I pray for my sisters who are feeling that you are calling them out into something new, that you would give them courage and faith to know that you are watching over their comings and goings. And Lord, we pray that we would trust you and not lean on our own understanding for your provision, to walk in your kingdom purposes for us. Lord, we ask you boldly, bless us. Bless us extravagantly, that we would be a blessing to this world for your glory and for our encouragement, Lord, we pray. Amen.